This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Source Trunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 36, recorded on the 6th of June 2008. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. With this review, I'll be drinking a Trappist de Rochefort 8. That's 8, so a Trappist de Rochefort 8. And I'm really delighted because it's a Trappist. And first, I'll give a little reminder about what a Trappist beer really is. A Trappist beer is a beer brewed by or under control of Trappist monks. And it's really special because there are only a few beers in the world which can be labeled a true, a really genuine Trappist. In this list, we only have the beers of Chimay, Orval, and of course the Rochefort, which I'm going to taste now. Also the West Malle and the West Vleteren, which I really would like to review, but is really hard to get. And also the Achelse Kluis and Koningshoven. And that's all there is. Those are the only authentic Trappist products. And Brouwerij de Koningshoven is not really Belgian. That's a Dutch ale. So they must be really proud to have that label. Now, going back to the Trappist Rochefort, there are three sorts of Trappist Rochefort. You have the Rochefort 6 degrees, Rochefort 8 degrees, and Rochefort 10 degrees. Now, the degrees doesn't reflect the amount of alcohol in it. It is just the density of the malt that is used in the beer, and it has nothing to do with the alcohol percentage at all. The Trappist 8 degrees was only made for New Year's Eve parties. It originated from 1955. It's from a monastery. It's from the Abbey Saint-Remy in Rochefort, and however, it's a pretty strong beer. It contains 9.2% alcohol. It's a very manly beer. It's not like a Creek or something like that. And instead of blabbering on about this beer, I'm just going to open myself this really nice bottle and pour it in correctly, so I can get a really, really nice white, clear white color, which it is famous for. So I'm really pouring it slowly, and I'm getting a nice, nice, not too white as I would have expected, color. And let's take a sip. And this is just marvelous. This is really a really thick caramelized taste of dark fruits, and it is strong. You really can sense the taste, the strongness of the beer. It's really a beer to drink slowly amongst good friends, and which I'm doing right now. Let's go.
Multimedia software.
Mencoder. Remember last time I reviewed Mplayer? And Mencoder is just a part of Mplayer. It uses the same code. What can you use Mencoder for? Well, if you have tried to convert a video format to another video format with proprietary software, with software on a Windows machine, OS X machine, or Linux machine, it's not always that easy. Now, Mencoder is just a free command line video decoding, encoding, and filtering tool. It is a close sibling to Mplayer, as it is described, and it can convert all the formats that Mplayer understands into a variety of compressed and uncompressed formats using different codecs. So that's the description. So that's really what you can do with it. If you can play it with Mplayer, you can convert it with Mencoder to another format that Mplayer understands. That is really easy. you can read, like I said, all the sources in. You can copy video and or audio completely unmodified into an output file. So why would you do that? Well, for example, to modify the video alone and leave the audio untouched. Or you could modify the audio and leave the video completely untouched. Or you can put the video and audio into another container format. This has nothing to do with codecs. It's really, like I explained in episode 35, a container format. If you don't know what I'm talking about, hop on back to episode 35 to hear everything about MPlayer and its formats. So, like I said, to keep it simple, you have one video file and you convert it to another video file with all the options you can dream of. And there are a lot of options you can use. And it's all in command line mode. So it's a dream if you want to script these operations. Now, if you don't like command line, no problem. There are a lot of wrappers, graphical wrappers on Mankoto, which I will come back to. I think it would be best if I just describe Mankoto via all the filters you can use to transform your video. It's to no use to explain everything about Mankoto because that would take, as always, a complete day. But the filters are really, in my opinion, the most appealing aspect of Mankoto. For example, you could do some cropping. And cropping is just taking a piece of the frame only. The piece, for example, you have picture cropping. You can take a little piece of your picture and just crop that out. You can do the same with MPlayer, with Mankoto. You can say, well, I just want that part of my video and just crop it. You could scale, which is a linear transformation that enlarges or diminishes objects. You could go, for example, from 720 to 576, which is DVD format, to an SVCD format, 480 by 480, or a simple VCD format. That is really easy to do with Mankoto. You can do some horizontal mirroring. Maybe you recorded something in a mirror and now you want to flip it to have it correctly. You can do vertical flipping. For example, maybe you were completely intoxicated while recording the whole wedding of your cousin with the camera upside down, which could be really a problem if you want to show it to family and friends. Then you can just do a vertical flipping. You can do rotation as well. Rotate it just by the degrees you want. You were tilting the camera just a bit, and then you can just correct this with rotating. Another filter you could use is expanding to create letterboxes. Sometimes when you convert from one format to another, you leave some space and you can make a really nice black band above and under the movie. You can change brightness and contrast of a movie. Really, if you do your own recordings, sometimes it's too dark or it's too bright, and with Mankoto it's very easy to change the contrast. Or maybe you just want to change the contrast of a video file you have and it doesn't display very well on your plasma screen. Well, you can just change it a bit. You can change the aspect ratio of the video pixels, which is just the width divided by its height. It's pretty complicated, and I must admit that I don't understand everything about it, but the thing is, with Mankoto, you can just change everything if you know a little bit what you are doing. You can do color space conversion, change the color space that is used, RGB 24-bit, to something else. You can change hue and saturation. Now, if you're going to do stuff like this, you really know what you're doing, because I've been searching on Wikipedia what hue and saturation really mean to explain it to you kind people, but I must admit, I've read it 3 times, 4 times, and I can't understand what it really is. You seems to be one of the 3 main attributes of perceived color, in addition to lightness and chroma, and even that is not really clear to me. Saturation, for example, are all like color theory and colorfulness related concepts referring to the intensity of a specific color. Okay, I can understand that, but I really can't explain it. If you know what this is, then you can really use it with Mankoto. You can do some gamma corrections. You can use filters for reducing the visibility of compression artifacts. For example, if you use MPEG compressing, then you have little blocks. Well, Mankoto can try to reduce the fact that you can see the blocks can try to make it smoother. You can have automatic brightness and contrast enhancement, so it really tries to find an auto level. You can do sharpness, you can do blur, you can have denoising filters, which are really handy if your TV card is a bit noisy, if you have not a real crisp clear reception, then you can get the little spots out. There are several ways of deinterlacing, and deinterlacing, just to explain that a bit, is used by televisions, and really normally not the most recent televisions, but back in the days they used interlacing. And what is that? Well, a television set, the screen is divided in A lines and B lines. So you have an A line, a B line, an A line, a B line, an A line, a B line. And at one moment, all the A lines are changed, and then in another second, all the B lines are changed. Well, there the television seems to be playing a bit with a trick with your mind, because you don't see that on a television. First the A lines are changed, and then the B lines are changed. And so you don't need a lot of data. You need only half of the data to have a perfect image. Now, on a computer monitor or on very new screens, you will see that. You will see those changes. You will see that the lines aren't correct. So you have to deinterlace. That's what deinterlacing is for. You can reverse the telesyn, and I'm not even going to try to explain this one, but if you know what this is, well, you can reverse it. There is really more you can do with Mencoder than I can just explain here. If you want to see all the options, then you just have to go to the Mencoder documentation, which will be on the show notes in on sourcestrong.com. Or you can just, if you have already installed it, do a man space Mencoder. And then you'll see the man page of Mplayer, in which there will be a huge description of the Mencoder options as well. And be prepared, because there are really, really a lot of options. Normally, if you can't do it with Mencoder, I don't really see which program you could use to do all your video conversion with. Now, personally, what do I use it for? Well, for example, I resize series I record with my MIF TV, and I resize them to play on my handheld PC, which uses a Mplayer Pocket PC version. I can also use it to have a automated post-processing script also on my MIF TV box, and it transcodes my NUPL video format to a lighter XFIT format, which has been denoised, which has been letterboxed, and which has been made smaller to not take too much space on my hard drive, because a movie can easily take 4 or 5 gigabytes in NUPL video or MPEG video, and I'll just mencode it to a lighter, smaller 1 gigabyte format, which is still very, very crisp clear to watch on our television. Now, if the command line scares you, then I can reassure you, when you go to sourceforge.net and you do a search for Mencoder, you'll immediately see that there are a lot of graphical wrappers around Mencoder, so that you don't have to know all the command line options to convert your files. Just for example, YAML, which is yet another Mencoder GUI, need I say more, MeGUI, and so on and so on and so on. So it is available on all platforms. You can use it on a OS X machine, on Linux, on FreeBSD, on Solaris even, I think. And Windows users, fear not, you can use MeWig, which is a Mencoder GUI for Windows, to, if you must, use it on a Windows system. So it's completely covered. Really, really try it out if you want to convert video formats. The license is GNU General Public License, and you can find it on mplayerhq.hu. And those links will be on sourcestrong.com. Listener feedback. I got a mail back from Bruce Henderson, the guy who was doing his own brewing, and I asked him in the previous episode which brews he made, and it appears he makes stouts, potters, golden ales, lambics, amber ales, and pale ales. And he's even doing a clone of the famous Duvel ale. And that is really a hard thing to do, because that recipe is really, really secret. So that's really astonishing. And I would be, man, if I would be in Oregon, I would really hop by and just beg you to have a little sip of that Duvel clone. He also gave a link to Liquid Solutions, which is a store in Oregon City, Oregon, and it appears to have 117 Belgian beers plus other beers around the world. So I've put that in the beer bin. Quite a few listeners ask for reviews about Chess Clients, so I'll see what I can do. Keep sending open source projects you like, and keep sending stuff for the beer bin. Leave your comments on sourcestrong.com or mail me directly via sourcestrong@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with To Be an Angel by Uncle Seth. Thanks for your time, and good hunting.
What does it say to be an angel? Where does the sun go when it sleeps? Is every star that shines so brightly another promise I must keep? I know I should find now. It isn't written in love stars, just shadows, dreams, and light and dark that sometimes seem just as far. Does it say to be an angel? What are the things we hope to find? A million lives we live on earth to one mistake, another birth. We will be here at the end of time. None know so many. It's written in your heart. No.